You know, summer's flying by. It's hard to believe like June ends in just a couple days, right? And I love summer. It gives us a lot of opportunity to do some unique things, some unique programming. You've heard about those already. 2 weeks ago, our elementary kids went to Camp Ileana for the week. They had the pick of the week because it rained every day. And that was followed by middle school camp, which it was 100 degrees every day. So like if I had to choose rain over 100 degrees, I'd probably choose the rain. But we're grateful that they both were surrounded by lots of our staff as well as great volunteers from here at Crossroads who made those 2 weeks of camp happen. And tomorrow, we have a team, our group of people who leave to CIY Move at our high school ministry camp. And so we ask you just to pray over those students as they travel to Tennessee, as they come back, and more importantly, as they connect with God over the next several days, that they'd be transformed by that. Also, as you heard, there's several different mission opportunities that are happening, so be in prayer for those. But also, don't let the summer fly by without you being part of what God's up to. So I'd highly encourage you, check out the bulletin, stop by the information desk, check out the Church Center app so that you don't miss any of these opportunities this summer that will give you an opportunity to continue to grow in your faith and be part of what God's doing. As you know, this summer, we're kind of walking through how to live life the best way, and that's the way that God instructed us, and we're looking at specifically the 10 words to live by that are best known as what's been called the Decalogue, probably better known to us as the 10 Commandments. And in the 10 Commandments, God is revealing his character to us. He wants us to understand how to relate with him, but also how to relate with each other, and all of these words are designed for us to live life the way God intended it to be. And so this is not a pop quiz, but maybe in a purpose of review, let's kind of walk back through the first four words we've looked at so far. Like the first word, anybody remember what the first word was? You shall have no other gods besides me, or in addition to me, other than me. We learned that like worshiping God, he is God alone. He is sovereign over all gods. He is superior over gods. We really should have nothing that we worship, anyone or anything other than him. The second word, don't make any images of me, any images that would be lesser than who I am, or any images that you would bow down and worship instead of me. God says, I take that very serious. I'm jealous for your love and attention. I want to relate with you and have this like singular relationship between us as your God. The third word, keep my name holy, right? Keep my name holy in the ways that you talk, in the things that you do, in the ways that you live, in the ways that you love. May those all be a representation of my character. That's my name, and my name stamped on you as being part of my creation and being your father. And then the fourth word we looked at last week, honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Make time for resting in God. Make time for worshiping him. That's really important for how life works. You know, you can look at all four of those and kind of say like, well, those all have a lot to do with worshiping God and really relating to him. I want you to know that the other six are just as important about how to relate to God, but they also begin to direct us in how we relate to each other. You cannot separate your love and relationship with God and your love and relationship with each other. It's really hard to love other people when you don't have a foundation that's built on loving God. And then according to 1 John chapter 4, you cannot say you love God but hate other people. I think both of those are why Jesus, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He responded this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and mark those in there, all your strength. Jesus says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. That word like it is actually translated by the New Living Translation as this is equal to it, of equal importance. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, all the law and the prophets, all the commands, hang on really these two. Everything God commands focuses on loving him and loving others. And so that leads us up to this fifth word that we're going to look at today, where God says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. I was 51 years old before I realized, which is really just this past week when I was studying, that these 10 words are actually directed toward adults, not to children. Many times when we hear this command, love the Lord your God or honor your father and mother, we think, oh, that's for kids. Obey, check, got that one. Well, when I look out at the room today, I was picturing you in my mind and I realized that the most of us in this room have long expired the obligation to obey our parents. Does that mean we don't have to honor them anymore? Well, I hope in our time together, we'll look at a little heavier, as the word honor means, a little heavier reality that what this word honor means. Let's begin by kind of acknowledging the basics, and that is that all of us came from someone. We are not here on our own. As I look out at the group, I don't think any of us were hatched like a chicken. I don't think any of us were delivered to this planet by some extraterrestrial visit from outer space. Through the miracle of birth that God created, we were brought into this world by the conception involving both a male and a female. And whether those two people who are responsible for bringing you into this world, you still have interaction with or not, we owe both of them something. We all came from someone. I love that God addressed how he designed life to work by first that we honor both our mother and our father. In the ancient world, men were really looked at in higher regard. They were given more value. But that was never how God designed life to work. He created both male and female in his image. They both have equal value and worth in God's eyes. And while abilities or responsibilities, even their roles, can be unique to a person or even to the gender, God values each person equally. Both dads and moms have equal importance and expected contribution in caring for and raising children. Each bring a valuable contribution to the experience, and both will be held accountable for how we raise our children. Honor both your father and your mother, God says. We're going to talk about the responsibilities that that brings as parents in just a little bit. But not only did God mention both mothers and fathers, he also did not provide any disclaimer. He didn't say, honor your father and mother unless they really dropped the ball and made a mess of parenting you, and you have a lot of repercussions because of that. The reality is there never has been and there never will be a perfect parent. And what that means is this room is filled with plenty of people who had a great experience from their parents. Your parents loved and cared for you. They provided for you. They nurtured you. They probably even taught you about the Lord. There's probably an equal number amount of people in this room who the opposite is true. That you have some type of trauma that you have probably had to work through because of the way that your parent or parents treated you, or that because of the poor job they did in bringing you up. And that certainly begs the question, does God really want me to honor my parent or parents, especially the way they treated me or what they did to me? And the short answer to that is yes, he does expect you to honor them. The long answer is what we're going to look at for the rest of our time together. What does it really mean to honor our father and mother? It begins by understanding what the word honor means in the original language. It means to give proper weight to. So at the bare minimum, honor involves recognizing the role and the importance that parents play, at least just in basically giving life. Another pastor friend of mine was teaching on this same command, honor your father and mother. And after he was finished, someone from the congregation came up and raked him over the coals and said to him, if you knew my dad, you would never ask me to honor him. If you knew how my mom treated me, you would never ask me to honor them. He just said, well, let me just ask you a favor. When you get dressed tonight to go to bed, if you look halfway down your body and you have a belly button, you owe somebody something. I think God at the base level says, honor your father and mother because they brought you into this world. My dad used to say, I can take you out of this world too, son, you know? But at the base level, we give honor to God by recognizing this miracle of life. I think I was probably in my late 20s before I realized that every birth really is a miracle. After going through several miscarriages, after child two into child three, we're like, man, this just isn't add water. This just isn't automatic. I thought I knew from how all the plumbing worked from being in health class. But every birth is a miracle of God. And he's brought that miracle through two people that you owe some level of honor to because they have brought you life. The dynamics involved in family can be really messy. Here's what I realized today as I speak to you. The reality is that some of you, you don't know who those two people were who brought you into this world. Maybe they offered you up for adoption at birth. Maybe they never fulfilled their God-appointed role to bring you up and to nurture you in the way of the Lord. Maybe some of you experienced some parents through a foster home or maybe through adoptive parents. There's people who have stepped in to provide this parenting role for you. To those people, you owe honor. They're trying to understand and live out the instruction that God has given for parents. And you as a child, you as somebody who is dependent on them, have a responsibility to honor them. The dynamics involved, there's a lot to navigate when you maybe don't know your biological parents, or you have to think through and process why they offered you up for adoption. Maybe you've had some attachment issues with those who have provided care for you in their absence. Whether it's biological or foster or adoptive, I want you to recognize that because of God and two people, you are here today. And you honor God by honoring them. Honoring parents also includes way more than just acknowledging that they are the ones who brought you into this world. It means highly valuing them, respecting them, caring for them, and certainly also obeying them. You know, God designed life to work best when we have an appropriate recognition for his character, and when parents take seriously the instructions found in the Old Testament law to teach these commands to their children, to impress these teachings upon their hearts, to talk about God and the things of God when they walk along the road, when they eat dinner together, when they lie down together. When parents take seriously God's instructions to train a child in the way that they should go, to start them on the right path. You know, parenting is not the easiest thing I've ever tried to do, right? The hospital doesn't send you home with any instruction manual. I cannot think of anything that I've prepared for more in my entire life. 9 months of preparation, making sure we thought we had everything together. And when the moment happens, you feel the least prepared of any assignment you may ever accept on the face of this earth, right? You know, I'm grateful that the Bible gives some very practical instructions along with this responsibility of what parents are supposed to do and what children are supposed to do. And let me just say up front, like, I thought I knew a lot about parenting until I became a parent, right? Anybody else have that admission, that confession, right? Here's what I've also recognized after kind of hanging out with a lot of people my age. We often expect a lot of grace from the people that we parent, but we don't demonstrate that much grace to the people who parented us. And I think what God has to say about honoring us our parents is really practical, no matter what stage of life we might be in today. As children, all of us have parents. As children, we're instructed to recognize the responsibility as well as the authority that God has placed on fathers and mothers, and to hold them in high esteem and with high regard. I think we can show honor to our fathers and mothers by expressing appreciation for how they attempted to carry out their ever-important roles. You know, it doesn't take Mother's Day or Father's Day to facilitate the opportunity to write a short note or to send a quick text, or even better yet, to stop by just for the sole purpose of saying thank you to your dad and mom for the way that they cared for you, provided for you, even nurtured you, especially if they taught you about the Lord. You know, even if they struggled to fulfill their responsibilities and their God-given role, identifying some redeemable quality that you can acknowledge, or just acknowledging the challenges that maybe that they navigated while they were trying to do their best. That's a good way to live out this first, fifth word and honor God by honoring them. I would just encourage you to not miss an opportunity to tell them in person. Something that's given me a lot of peace over the past week as I've acknowledged both now losing my dad and my mom over the past 3.5 years is two things. One, I'm confident I know where they are today. And second of all, there was nothing left unsaid. I knew how my dad felt about me, and he knew how I felt about him. I knew how my mom felt about me, and she knew how I felt about her. Don't miss the opportunity to tell them in person, thank you for the ways that they have provided and nurtured and strengthened you. We are all here as a product of those two people, both biologically, but hopefully also because of their influence. You know, it's interesting how honoring our father and mother can come very full circle, right? I mean, when we're born, we are completely dependent on them. We're a little bit unique in the animal world, right? I mean, most animals come out of the womb and they can kind of stand up pretty instantly. They can begin to feed themselves. They can begin to navigate life for themselves, but not as humans. I mean, we come out totally dependent on our parents for everything. And what's interesting as time plays out, you know, our parents start to become more dependent on us. It seems to go full circle. They kind of move from independence to dependence as we're moving from dependence to independence. And sometimes, You know, it takes a lot of patience to care for your parents. Sometimes as they age, it can require a lot of time and energy, and all that responsibility falls on us. You know, honoring our parents, it does involve taking care of them as they need it. Corey Robertson, she's the wife of Willie Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame, right? She's kind of coined a phrase, or at least made it popular, a word. It's called kin keeping. And how I would describe kin keeping is this. The younger generation begins to take care of the older generation. It comes in some practical ways. Maybe you don't meet at grandma's house anymore for a holiday, or maybe not even at mom's house. They now meet at your house. The older generation is being cared for by the younger generation. The younger generation is responsible for maybe keeping those traditions alive, or certainly providing emotional support and even some physical care. It requires a lot of time and energy and patience. And I think of our best example in life is always Jesus. So picture him hanging on the cross in excruciating pain. And yet he's mindful enough to look down and say, Mom, hey, John's going to take care of you. Hey, John, I need you to take care of my mom. What a powerful example of what it might look like for us to honor our parents, even in that stage of life. Honoring our parents, I need to be clear, also involves obedience. It was included in what God revealed to Moses in the Old Testament law. Now, I've had to wrestle with, like, what is the expiration date on this obedience time? And here's my working theory. Give me some grace. I've come to kind of decide that obedience is required of a child to their parents if you are dependent on your parent for anything still. For instance, if you're 12 years old, you still are obeying your parents because everything that you have in your life is probably still coming from mom or dad. If you're 18 years old, and you're not paying your car insurance or your cell phone, or if your parents aren't helping you with college, then that's where obedience needs to kind of be thought through. If you're 26 and still living at home and they're still writing the checks, you're still required to be obedient to them. That's just my theory, okay? If you're married, then you're off the hook, okay? I wiped my hands of that 2 years ago and said, hey, I've done my job, now she's yours, right? And so maybe you can relate with that. But if until that point, until you're completely independent of your parents, God calls us to obey them as a way to honor them. And I just want to be clear. Like last week, disobeying the command to honor the Sabbath came with a death penalty. So does honoring your parents. Leviticus 20 verse 9 says, anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. Because they've cursed their father and mother, their blood will be on their own head. Deuteronomy 21, Moses writes, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother, will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother should take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey us. He's a glutton and he's a drunkard. Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. I think this is maybe why God allows this fifth command to say, honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life in the land that the God is giving you, right? Paul, in both of his letters to the Ephesians and also to the Colossians, calls those of us who are Christ's followers to obey our parents. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right, Paul says. To the Colossians, he says, children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. Honoring our parents is what God has called us to. It pleases him. It's the right thing to do. It's how life works best. It leads to long life. I don't think that promise means that we'll become independently wealthy or we'll never get sick or we don't have any problems. It's actually referring to the more communal experience that comes along with this fifth word, not just some individual reality. God is stressing how important it is to understand who he is and how he's designed life to work. He establishes his sovereignty, and now he outlines this familial authority. He's given us direction on how life works best. Every society has witnessed and experienced the ramifications of the breakdown of the family. When that happens, so goes society. The breakdown of the way God designed the family to work, it wreaks havoc in all kinds of family relationships. Adultery, immorality of all kinds, divorce, those all destroy the sanctity of the marriage covenant, and it brings all kinds of heartache and trouble for those, both of those partners. Apathy and neglect, abuse from parents, leads to child being victimized, even traumatized by those who are supposed to be their caregivers and even their protectors. You know, research has correlated the absence of a father with many types of activity like drug use and violent crime, so many other negative social realities in our world today. In 2020, 18 million kids were growing up in a home without a father. There were also 3 million children, in addition to that, being raised by a single dad or without a mom. The absence of a mom can have more of an emotional or psychological impact on children, leading to unhealthy codependent relationships. It can have chaos or high drama in relationships and certainly anxiety. I just wanted to pause and say a good word to those men and women out there who've stepped in some way. I want to say thank you for those men who have stepped in as a stepdad to somebody that you're raising just like your own. You view those children as your God-given responsibility to care and provide for, and you're doing that in the absence of someone else. I know it's hard, and I want to say thank you. Same to you moms. Maybe you've stepped in as a stepmom, and you didn't give birth to those children, but you fight and you desire and you work just like they were your own. And I want to say thank you for stepping in. You know, kids need both a mom and a dad who will pour into them and love them and teach them and show them the way. And whether you gave birth to them or not does not necessarily negate any responsibility or disqualify you from being that person in someone's life. Maybe you're here today and you've taken responsibility for somebody, maybe just as an adoptive child. Thank you for stepping into their life, whatever circumstances have led to that need. Thank you for stepping in and doing the hard work it requires to navigate all those dynamics. I also want to say to that person who's out there parenting by yourself, as a single mom or a single dad, do not lose hope. I have several friends in my life who are godly men and women who've lived a very productive life because the body of Christ has surrounded them when they didn't have a father or they didn't have a mother in their own home. I've seen the power of God at work. And single parent, I want you to know that God is with you. He is for you. He is working powerfully in you and through you, even when you feel like you want to stop or you don't feel like you have enough. You know, it's not just moms and dads who can cause all kinds of havoc in the home. It's also children. I mean, disobedience and disrespect by children causes chaos and discord and also dysfunction. Just as much as parents can be the root cause of these problems, so can the kids. Talk to an educator or a therapist who's working with a child on their behavior, and a lot of that stems back to how they view or treat their mom and dad. If they don't have any respect for mom and dad, guess what? They aren't going to respect the teacher. They're not going to respect their boss someday. They'll probably have problems with the law enforcement as well. Anyone in authority is going to be questioned or not respected. No respect at home usually means there's no respect anywhere. I love what Barbara Bush said. She says, you know, it's not so much our society is dependent on what happens in the White House, but what happens at your house. I think there's a lot of truth in that. God instituted the family to be a place where life would work best. He created the first man and woman, and he wanted to have a perfect relationship with them, and he wanted to have them to have a perfect relationship with each other. He commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply, to populate the earth, to subdue it. God has great expectations for how the family would work so that it would be a picture of how his family would work. I love what Jen Wilkin in her book, 10 Words to Live By, writes. She said this, "The home is a lab where children learn submission to authority. Christian parents train their children to submit to them so that the children will more readily learn to submit to other earthly authorities and ultimately to the highest authority, our Heavenly Father. A Christian parent trains his or her child to submit to his or her visible and temporary authority so that the child might one day submit to God's invisible and eternal authority." She goes on to write this, "This life is a lab in which God's children learn to submit to heavenly authority by submitting to earthly authority. Honoring our visible mother and father in this life is a way of storing up treasure in heaven. By bowing to their time-tested wisdom, we prepare our hearts to bow to the timeless wisdom of God. By submitting to their visible authority, we're trained to submit our wills to the invisible authority of God. She said, we learn by repetition, and our repeated interactions with all types of authority train us for the day when at last we will enter fully into the land the Lord God has given us. The question this morning we probably need to answer is this: how well are we doing with honoring our mother and our father according to this fifth command? And so to help us maybe do some personal inventory, I've prepared some questions that I'd like for us to think about. Let me talk through them and then we can spend some time just in personal reflection. First of all is this: depending on the season of life that you're in, do you feel honoring your father and mother requires you to obey them, respect them, or care for them? And the question is, how are you doing with that responsibility? Second of all, how might honoring your parents require you to recognize your own imperfections and need for grace as you show them grace in their parenting? I love one of the exercises that's part of freedom prayer is a process that asks you to acknowledge this. My parents should have done this, but my parents didn't do that. And I'm choosing to not hold them at arm's length because of that. Maybe that's a prayer you need to pray right here and maybe release for the first time ever in your life this debt that your parents owed you that you can release to God and let him bring you grace and forgiveness as you extend that to them. The third is this: what's one way you can express a word of appreciation, some encouragement to your parent, or maybe it's someone who was a parent figure in your life? Do it this week. I wonder what character trait of theirs remind you the most of a characteristic of God. And then finally, what shortcomings as a parent make you feel inadequate or unworthy of honor as a parent, or maybe you're that parent figure in someone's life? You know, what godly wisdom and example can you offer to those within your care? I'm gonna give you a few moments just to think about that, let the Holy Spirit just kind of speak and do some heart work as we reflect on these questions. I've prepared this past week. It has had some burdens on my heart. And certainly one of those is just thinking about how grateful I am for my parents. And they weren't perfect people. They have a huge spiritual influence in my life. I think about my dad. My dad was an extremely patient person, but maybe to a fault. He could probably be described as passive. And I see how that's influenced my life over the years as a husband, as a father, as a leader. Sometimes I want to label it patience, but it's probably passive. And like I just felt the conviction of like wanting to do better in that. And maybe some regret in that, but also maybe still some opportunity just to continue to be proactive and to take more attention toward my wife or my kids or the people that God's entrusted to my care. And I've also had a burden this whole past week for the person who would do anything to have one more chance to say, I love you, to their mom or dad. To say, I'm sorry, to their mom or dad. Maybe to say, I forgive you, to their mom or dad. Or just to have one more interaction with them. I know you're here today. And maybe you thought about some of those questions. Maybe just an opportunity I would encourage you to take is go ahead and write those things. Go ahead and take the time to commit them to paper, even as you express those thoughts and emotions to your mom and dad. And maybe just write them as a prayer. God, I want to say thank you for, and list the qualities that you admired about your parents. Or God, I want to say I'm sorry for how I treated my parents. Or God, I need your help to forgive my parents, even though I never met them or I can't see them face to face again. I think God has the power in his supernatural and transcendent way to provide the comfort we need, the peace we might need, the grace for ourselves or certainly for them, even in their absence. You know, this word honor is really heavy. And you know, we can point it to just this fifth word, like that's where the honor comes into all of these, but this loving your parents and honoring them is really a hinge point between these first four and the remaining five. But I think in reality, all 10 of these words to live by are based in honor. Jen Wilkins says this, honor is an expression of rightly ordered love. When we love as we should, we honor the object of our love as we should. Honor fueled by love lies at the heart of the fifth word, and it does really at the heart of all 10. And she offers a simple exercise in her book that I'd like for us to kind of wrap up our time here with today. She encourages us to remove the word love and insert the word honor, just to maybe get our perspective in the right place about these two commands. And so would you read this out loud together with me? We're going to use the word honor in the blanks. Honor the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Honor your neighbor as yourself. Know that neighbor includes the people who are responsible for you having life. That includes the people who chose to care for you because maybe you weren't their child, but they fostered you or they adopted you into their family, and they've made a commitment to raise you and to nurture you and to provide for you and hopefully to teach you about the things of the Lord. Honoring them actually is a way to honor God. All of these words to live by help us really experience life to the best. The perfect expression of life. It really was begun in the garden between God and humanity, but it was quickly tainted by sin. And sin still destroys the perfection that God calls all of us to as parents and certainly as children. And so as a response to what God is teaching us and how to live, I call all of us to commit to honoring him above anything or anyone. Let's honor him really by coming to know him and his character in a deeper, more loving way and not settling for any lesser image of him. Let's honor his name by what we say and how we live and how we love and everything we do. Let's honor him by making time for resting in him and worshiping him for who he is. And let's honor him as we live out his design and desire within the family with all its relationships as men, as women, as husbands, as wives, as dads, as moms, and certainly as children. And as we honor him in all these ways, I think the world will get a fuller picture of who God is. I think they will be drawn to him. They'll want to know him more. I want to pray to that end right now. Would you join me? God, thank you for being God. Thank you for creating the world as it is and knowing how it works best. And your wisdom and your power and your grace have been fully on display by what you've made, by your word, by the character of Jesus and the way that he lived his life, the way he loved other people, and certainly by the way that he sacrificed his life for you and for all of us. God, we see in your word and in your character what you're calling us to as holy people. And specifically, that plays out in how we treat people within our family, and specifically all of us who have been children, who are children right now, all of us who have parents. God, you've called us to love them and to honor them. And so, God, in doing so, I pray that we would honor you. The world would notice that we live really countercultural. We actually respect authority in all of its ways, starting at the home. And God, for those here today who are living under the authority of their parents, I pray that they would feel your supernatural power to help them obey their parents, even when it doesn't make sense, even when they disagree. They would do that because they honor you and your authority in their life. God, for those of us whose parents have raised us in ways that would honor you, help us to be grateful for that and to learn from their example and to be that set of parents to our children. God, for those today who are hurting at the words of this message, thinking about how difficult it would be to honor somebody they never met or somebody who really messed it all up when it comes to parenting. God, I pray that first of all, you'd bring them the healing and peace they need, but also the strength and the power to find themselves as recipients of grace, to be gracious toward those who should have known better but didn't follow through. And God, my prayer for those people who are parenting right now, God, that they would not get tired. They would not grow weary in well-doing. They would continue to be a godly example, and they would teach their children who you are and how you love them and the value you've placed on every person. God, I pray that us parents would do our best to reflect you in the way that we lead our kids. God, I pray you'd help us to be people who honor you and honor those around us. God, that would cause the world to notice that we live differently and they'd be drawn to you, who are not just our creator, you are our God, you're our Father. God, your son Jesus is not just our Savior, he's our Lord. And so we want to live like him, we want to love like him, we want to honor others the way he honored you. So it's in his name that we pray to that end. Amen.